Welcome to this weekly media session edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. I'm Carl James. Today is Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. Since we last spoke with Coach, the Hoosiers have gone 2-2, dropping a series at Purdue, but then winning in comeback fashion in a midweek at Indiana State. So the coach took questions from the media. A lot of focus on some growth in the pitching and how the pitchers are improving in various ways as the team prepares to take on and go to Piscataway, New Jersey against Big Ten leading Rutgers.
Definitely a thrilling win last night, you know, after dropping a Big Ten series and then coming back with that thrilling win. What does that do for the morale in the clubhouse heading into Rutgers, a pretty good team, a surging team?
Yeah. I think the big takeaway was just Ty Bothwell and Ryan Kraft and those guys on the mound. That was the big takeaway for me. And you know, we've done that several times in the last few weeks where the offense has got into the bullpen and made a late charge. And we just haven't had the pitching there to be able to be able to allow us to come all the way back. But the way that we pitched yesterday is what we've been capable and things that we've talked about, you know, against an Indiana State offense that's terrific. I mean, they're going to the game, they're hitting .313 as a team and really veteran and very, very well coached. And so the big thing for me is just seeing those guys settle in and executing pitches and the resurgence of Ty Bothwell and the reestablishment of Ryan Kraft. Those guys, that's what I take from that. And any time that you do have that kind of a pitching performance, you know, it does give the team some, you know, just a lot of confidence and excitement. And I was just really happy for the kids, to be honest with you. You know, we've had a lot of opportunities where we've come back and made a run at things and come up a little bit short. And so to have one of those comebacks fulfilled and to be able to win that game late, I was just really happy for them. They've earned it. They deserved it. They've been through it. And to have it finished off, I was really, really happy for them.
You mentioned the pitchers, especially Bothwell, Kraft, those guys, the relievers. What did you see from them yesterday? What led to their success?
Just, I know I've said this a million times, just establishing a fastball at both sides of the plate. Like, not trying to get a fastball in, just landing a fastball in, land a fastball away, land your breaking ball or your off speed or your changeup, and then be able to finish it from there. So, you know, it's something that we've worked on. It's something that we've done for 6 months, something I've done in the past. It's just having the confidence in the fray, in the heat of the moment, to go out and execute those pitches to zones and locations. We can have great stuff. We can have great metrics. But unless we throw them into the zones and quadrants where they need to be executed, they're not going to be successful at the clip they need to be successful. And then secondly, above that and beyond that, we had 4 walks, right? One of them was a kind of an intentional walk there to their guy. In the 9th, that guy was not going to beat us, or if he was going to have to spin off the plate. And so we had 3 walks on the night. And so when you do that, you have no hit by pitches and you have 3 walks and you come in a fastball to both sides of the plate, you land your off-speed pitch for a strike and you can expand from there. You have an opportunity to do that. Those are the same guys that have had some struggles and some successes, but those are the same guys that, you know, we've believed in and we continue to believe in. But that was the big difference for me. It was just establishing both sides of the plate with a fastball and then being able to complete the pass on your off-speed pitch and not give away free bases, which is obviously what we've been working on. Those guys are talented enough to do it. It was just kind of the first time to put that all together, and certainly an exciting growth up for that group.
Brayden Tuck.
I have actually a question about something that happened on Sunday. Okay. And it's I apologize, it's very specific. So, and I would normally have asked it then, but I couldn't stay. Yeah. So on Sunday in the first game, bottom of the 6th inning, Holderfield's pitching. Okay. There's one out. He walks a guy. Then the next guy, 2 balls, nowhere near the strike zone. And then Philip Glasser comes from shortstop to talk to him.
Yeah.
Can you give any background on what prompted that and what happened there?
Well, you know, we all have, but I've really encouraged Glasser and especially those upperclassmen that have been through it before to take an active leadership role in the heat of the moment, right? You know, I can come out or Dustin can come out and have a conversation with those guys, but oftentimes your peers in the battle with you have great insight. And so, you know, Tyler Dones and Philip Glasser and Matt Ellis, those guys have been through it and they see both sides of it. And, you know, oftentimes the encouragement from our teammate or our peer is more, has more impact on us than a lot of times even a coach can. So, I don't know what was said in the moment, but I've really encouraged those guys to be more involved. I do remember that now that you say it, but to be more involved and you know they're concerned. Well, we only get five trips and da da da. It's like, well, here's the deal. You know, if we're not able to execute pitches, we can have all the trips in our back pocket. It doesn't really matter at the end of the ballgame. So use them when you need them. You have the autonomy to do that. And great teams are teams that are led from within, and they have to be. They're just you have to have the leadership, and you have to have the freedom and the confidence, the autonomy to go and to compete on your own. And that's what Philip was doing in that moment and encouraging Grant. And Grant's been awesome. He's been awesome. And so just I'm sure just like, let's get back in there and finish this daggone thing. Yeah.
And it worked. He got a strikeout in that.
It worked. It worked, right? It's just like, you know, again, so often, and you look at the growth of the staff, you just got to, I know I say it, but like, you got to go through the tough stuff. And got a little bit shook up sometimes. We get a little bit emotional. We have to, you know, stay focused throughout the inning to finish the inning. And, you know, a little kick in the butt from your shortstop probably isn't a bad thing sometimes.
Last night, all of a sudden, Braden Tucker warming up in the pen is, you know, thrust into a really, you know, high tension situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, it made it even more so with the two walks, but he's able to get out of it. He's fired up. And that's something that we've also seen, you know, before. Is that a role moving forward, you know, being the last guy, maybe even a closer role for him moving forward?
Well, Tuck is really the thing that we put him in the role before. He could be a starter for us, right? He could be a starter and would be a good one. But there's got to be a guy that you put in the ball game in the most critical moment. Who is that guy, and when do you bring him in? So we've always had those swing guys and guys that it's like, okay, you could be a starter, you could be a closer, but there are games are won and lost in the fifth inning as well. And we've brought him in the fifth inning, you know, multiple times, or sixth inning. So when is the moment when we feel like the game is at critical mass, right? When is that moment? And then also, what's Braden available to do? So last night, you know, he threw on Sunday through three innings, and it's like he's got one inning today. So what's the one inning you got? And we talked about it. If we had tied, we would have stayed with Kraft. And if we take the lead, we're going to Tucker. And you make those decisions before the game. But, you know, he is a closer. He's our closer, but that closer may come in the fifth. He may come in the seventh or maybe the ninth. Or it may end up a situation where he has to be an opener or a spot starter. It's just whatever the most critical innings that Perkins or Bremer aren't in the game, that's the innings that we want Braden to throw. At the same time, making sure that we're keeping him healthy and being respectful of, you know, his arm and what he feels like he can do each day. But that's kind of the role that we envision for him. And he's an awesome dude, and he took to that. And I'm sure at first it was kind of like, that wasn't what I had in mind. I want to be a starter. And it's like, I understand that. But, like, this is a role where you have a chance literally every single day to pitch the most critical innings in that game that day. And that's an exciting role as well. And it's an incredibly important one also for a team to know. We get in a position to win the game, we know who we're going to, he and Holderfield, in those moments, and they've both done a really nice job.
Looking ahead to the Rutgers series, they're one of the better teams in the Big Ten. What do you want to see from your team this weekend?
I just want to see us continue to execute pitches the way that we executed them last night. You know, Bremer has done it, and Perkins has done it at times, and I just want to see the rest of that group continue to grow and develop as the expectation would be, right? So Ty Bothwell, just go execute pitches the way we did last night. Ryan Kraft, Luke Hayden got in there and got a couple out, did a good job for the most part. You know, John Madunio, like those guys, let's just continue to grow and develop the way that we need to. And our team is talented enough to win. We're good enough to win. We have shown that. We have the ability to do those things. But we have to go out there and we have to compete within the confines of the game. The game requires you to take care of the ball. The game requires you to not give away free bases. The game requires you to be good with two strikes on offense. There are things the game requires you to do, and there are times that we haven't done that in part of the game. Now, offensively, I feel good about where we're at, right? Offensively, from the bat, well, we've been fine. Defensively, we got a little bit sloppy early last night, a little bit of a hangover there from Sunday. Cleaned it up late, took care of the ball. Base running's been fine. And last night, we showed that we're capable of that. More guys are capable of executing pitches where they need to. That's what I want to go see. I just want to go play clean baseball. I want to go compete, because if we do that, we have a chance to beat anybody that we play on any given day. We still have an incredibly talented team. It's still a team that I believe in tremendously. You just have to follow the basic rules of economy or how the game goes for success. And we won't be the first team that breaks those rules. I know that might not be the best answer in the world, but that's what I want to go see, to be honest with you.
You're starting to get a lot of good performances out of your outfielders. How are you going to kind of divide up that playing time now that you're probably getting more than three of them?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. It's something that we've talked a lot about kind of in the office. You know, trying to get those guys in the positions to be successful matchup-wise, you know, in knowing the strengths of those guys. I don't want to give it away. It's kind of important. Like, I know Sam Muirson has a very niche offensive matchup. Like, he's going to handle really, really well. Some that he's not. And some Hunter Jets you're going to handle really well. So trying to find those guys the right role while also giving guys a breather at times. You know, Carter, trying to give Carter a little bit of a breather. You know, a freshman that's played literally, I think, every game of the season. Give him a breather. And that worked out. You could kind of pick your spot last night in a good matchup in that situation. But that would be the big thing, and keeping all those guys fresh, but also putting them in situations or positions to be successful, and then how injuries play a part of it as well, because those have been a part of it. But it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have to be able to have, you know, a bunch of young, talented guys that are going in there and playing well offensively. We have better defensively. We've had some misreads and some, I don't say miscues, but just balls. I thought there was two or three balls last night in the half that we should have caught. And you have to play both sides of the ball. You can't just, you know, you have a responsibility to the pitching staff. You don't just get to play all, you know, on one side of the ball. So I know that's not necessarily a great answer, but really the big thing is that just the matchup, and then obviously how, you know, who's catching, Matt or Pete, and then how does that impact the DH spot and those kind of things too. So it'll just kind of be day by day and matchup by matchup. And then hope that if I can bring a guy off the bench, it's as successful as it was last night.
Looking ahead to the weekend rotation, you know, Perkins has gone on Friday, Bremer on Saturday. There's still sort of question marks for Sunday.
Yeah.
As we get sort of further along into the season, is that role starting to become a little bit more cemented? Have seen Stahl throw a lot on Sunday?
Well, this week we'll go with Perkins on Saturday and Bremer on Sunday, just because I don't want to bring him back on short rest again. We've done that three. I think we played four Sunday doubleheaders, which is murder on your team. And to keep bumping those guys back a day and then up a day, I would like to just keep him on Saturday, keep him on Sunday, and then we'll fill in on Friday from there. And so we'll kind of see. But you have a duty as a coach to keep your guys healthy and put them in situations to be successful. And part of that is not throwing guys on short rest, you know, three out of 4 weeks or 3 out of 5 weeks. I don't want to do that. So we'll go Saturday, Sunday with those two guys, and then on Friday we'll have to kind of sit down here, you know, after last night. I know the guys are throwing pins and that stuff, and make a decision on what we're going to start with on Friday, and then kind of go from there. But we'll see if Nate's available for it or not, and kind of what his role is going to be in the weekend. But he ends up kind of being the guy, or he's kind of up on Friday if we need him, and like he's that bridge guy between Holderfield and Tucker. He's kind of been that bridge guy if we need him, and then if not, he'll slide to that opener on Sunday. He's done that a couple times. So I'd like to not do that with Nate as much if I can avoid it, just because getting him up on Friday and having pitch on Sunday is a little harder for him, but that's life. You gotta balance it out for me too.
Thank you for listening to this weekly media session edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Due to the nature of the road trips ahead, most likely the next time we will talk to Coach will be after the Cincinnati game. I will be traveling to Cincinnati, and hopefully we'll get an interview with Coach after that. That will be before the next time there's a home game. So we'll hear from Coach on the road, and then eventually the Hoosiers are going to be back home, and we will see you at the BART.